B-Pod Studios.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 985 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and I have a feeling this is going to be rather brief. But Pasta Joe, our favorite Pasta Joe, is just a man we thought could do it. It's all 22 Avengers movies, with the climax being the brand new Avengers movie. So, Rich, this is 22 movies. This is over the course of a couple days.
Oh, how many hours is that? I'm not even sure. It starts tomorrow at 11:30, and his ticket keeps him overnight for two nights, and it eventually ends around 8 p.m. on Thursday with the conclusion of the Avengers Endgame. So that's 48 plus 8 hours. Yeah, what was it?
56
I can't
hours?
Read that. Bert, I can't read that. So, yeah, probably about 56 hours. Yeah, 56 hours.
Okay.
He's going to be in a movie theater. As I said, there are showers that are being offered.
Pasta Joe needs no shower.
He doesn't need that. Is he going to be at the Showcase Cinemas? And he is going to, we're going to be hooking him up with food, a voucher for all the Monster Energy drink he wants.
That's right. And for all the pasta that he could possibly handle. Pasta Joe, hello.
Hi.
Are you excited for this opportunity? You're going to see, this is quite a marathon for you.
I can't wait.
Okay, so you are excited.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the game plan going in there? How do you stay awake? What movies are you looking forward to?
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to stay awake, but I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And so is there anything, are you looking forward to the new Avengers movie?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Pasta Joe.
Pasta Joe, can't wait to talk to you.
We'll call you after the show today, give you all the details.
Pasta Joe, thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you more. The great Pasta Joe, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
That was exactly as expected.
Yep.
Spot on.
Yeah, Rich said to me right before we went to it, he said, this isn't probably going to go very long. And I went,
90 seconds.
Of course that's not going to go very long.
And you had seven questions.
I mean, listen, everyone knows that he's going to probably bring his own food with him.
Burritos and beef. And cheese.
All right.
I just want a picture of him sitting there. Just like, I mean, you know what we should get? Can we hook up a Fitbit to him?
Oh, God. I have one.
See how much activity?
I have one. Oh, but it's got to be because I can get it on my phone, but I don't know if you have to be in the same vicinity as the.
Great. Do you? Like, can you give a Fitbit to somebody?
No,
like,
you can. You must
place?
Be able to check it online if he syncs it up, right?
Yeah, but does your phone need to be near it? No, because you go running, right?
Yeah.
You don't bring your phone with you.
But it saves the information and then Bluetooth. It uses Bluetooth to get to your phone.
Okay, so you hook it up to Nick's because Nick's going to stop by and interview him.
Okay.
Like at like 4 in the morning and come through. Yeah.
So
I think that's what you do, is if you can bring your Fitbit in, we need to monitor his movement during the movie thought.
It might send out like a 911 call. At a certain point.
So. That it may. So, all right, so Fred, there is somebody who has popped back into the news. I have not heard from this gentleman in about 2 years, and boy, have we missed him. Donald Sterling. If you remember, Donald Sterling was the ex-owner of the Clippers until he was secretly recorded by his girlfriend, V. Stiviano. We all remember V. Stiviano of the text, "Let the games begin." And she would wear that big visor in front of her face, which is really a shame because when she took the visor away, she looked like Edward James Olmos with a great body.
Yeah.
And so then Donald Sterling ended up saying some highly inappropriate racist things. He had to sell the team. And one of the people he truly hated was Magic Johnson. He did not like Magic Johnson. I think he thought, because there were pictures of his girlfriend at the time, V. Stiviano, with Magic Johnson, he thought that they had maybe possibly been hooking up. So Donald Sterling was found by TMZ this past weekend, and he was asked, hey, what did you think of Magic Johnson just out of nowhere quitting the Lakers? And I have it here. Fred, here's what he had to say.
Donald, how you doing? Are you watching the Clippers play? I just want to know. Just want to know about the playoffs.
Of course.
You are?
Of course, and I wish them the best.
Really? How far? Yeah,
I don't want to.
Just one last question. How far do you think they're going to get this year? You think they'll make it out of the first round? It's tough with the Warriors.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No. Can't afford it. You're watching them. That's great. Hey, what'd you think about Magic Johnson stepping down from the Lakers? Right choice? Good to see you in a good mood. Thank you, Donald.
So he pleads the fifth. All of that is just an excuse to revisit what might be one of the best interviews of all time. And that was when Donald Sterling, his world was crashing down around him. This tape had gone out. V. Stiviano leaked it there. And there was pressure to sell the Clippers, which he did not want to do. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn the world on my side. And I'm going to go on CNN with Anderson Cooper. And that's when he gave us quite possibly the greatest, oh my God, what were you thinking going on TV, old man moment of all time.
This might be Phil Esposito. Maybe he could join that show as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm hurt, but it doesn't matter.
You're hurt that he said that he spoke out publicly.
I'm hurt that he called me up and he said, don't do anything. Wait until you hear from me. Then somebody called me later and said he doesn't want to be involved. And then he released a tape that I sent to him, that I talked to him in confidence. Here is a man who's, I don't know if I say this, he acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him. I hoped he could live and be well.
He had those AIDS.
But he had those AIDS.
Those AIDS, not the AIDS over there.
No, those AIDS.
These AIDS over here, don't worry about them. By the way, technically, Magic Johnson never had AIDS.
Well, I think that he's corrected in a moment.
Oh, okay.
I didn't criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children? Well, what has he done? Can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS. Did he do any?
Whatever you're about to say, he got AIDS.
He's got AIDS.
Well, he's a business person. He's
got AIDS. Did he do any business? Did he help anybody in South L.A.?
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS. But.
Well, what kind of a guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl, then he catches HIV? And is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about?
Phil Esposito, what do you think about that?
Glaciers that are melting, they say that is so full of that the glaciers are melting, Phil. You fucking ass.
There becomes an age when the filter's off.
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
Mr. Esposito, you're...
So don't give me this global warming, and in the wintertime, you freeze your balls up.
Again, this is, Phil Esposito.
He's got AIDS.
You could put him... interview of them together.
Can you imagine thinking that you were going to like make yourself look better? And one of the first things that he was like,
when he had those AIDS.
He was sleeping with everyone when he had those AIDS.
He was hanging all around.
And he had AIDS.
He did.
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
I mean, Grandpa, get off the TV.
I mean, if you had a Donald Sterling, Phil Esposito show.
I mean, it would be fantastic.
I think back when I was a kid, 12 years old, it was 1955, 56, 54. It was hotter than
hell in the soup.
It was.
He's got AIDS.
I mean, Jesus, I am so over that f***ing bullshit.
When he had those AIDS.
And also, they're chopping the shit out of the rainforest.
And he had AIDS.
I'm in Brazil where there's shit in the f***ing water.
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
So there you go.
There you go. The two of them together could make quite the hit show.
The topics of the day being addressed.
Boy, he just disappeared. Like, Donald Sterling was nowhere to be found.
I know. I'm a little disappointed he's kind of learned his lesson.
Well, I mean, how do you not after that? Somebody said Fitbits will also track sleep as well. It'd be funny to see what movies he sleeps through.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between him awake and sleeping is not going to be easy.
That's going to be great. Because right, I wonder if we'll even detect it.
No. I mean, he's not going to move.
It's the sit bit.
Yeah. We should just have something track the whereabouts of his Ouija's jacket. All right. We'll be right back. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And so, Tuesday night, there's going to be a lot of turning off the TV.
Yeah.
A lot of turning the channel. I did it yesterday, too.
Especially if and when they start badly. I mean, I just...
That pit of your stomach?
Go back to Game 5, where they came out with nothing in a 2-2 series. And Toronto dominated them for extended stretches of time.
So let's do... please, Bruins, do this like you won the Stanley Cup. You know, get out there Game 7 and just murder them in the first two periods. So that way we can enjoy watching the whole thing. Like, get out there and just dominate. Score 3 to 4 goals in the first period and then make it easy and pleasant for us to
watch.
3 to 4
goals in the first period, then as soon as Toronto scores, you go, well, that's it.
It's 4-1. Doom comes in.
Look out. If you go out and there are other Bruins fans around,
it's easier.
It's a lot easier because people are sharing your pain. But if you're home alone.
Yeah, it is. You're pacing. You have to sometimes turn it off. I think that I won't turn this one off just because this is the first round and it's bad. But I just remember during like the Stanley Cup final with the Blackhawks and even when they were playing the Canucks, like that was as
well. They were down 3-1. They were down 3-1 to the Canucks. And that was the last time they've won a series.
Were they down 3-1 or were they down 2-0?
They were down 3-1.
I thought it was 2-0. And then they came back and won the next two games, 3 and 4, at the Garden.
I thought it was 3-1 because I thought I read that this was the last. This would be the last time that they would have come back from 3-1 was the Vancouver series. But I could be wrong.
I'm almost sure it was 2-2.
All right, well, let's shut up.
How about last year's Game 7, Toronto? Everyone remember last year's Game 7? I mean, even though the Bruins won that 7-4, how uncomfortable was that? They were down 4-3 headed to the third period. They had to score 4 goals in the third period of Game 7 to win that.
Well, how about the game a couple years ago that Fred left early, which I don't blame him because everyone thought it was over.
Toronto. 2013, that was 6 years ago.
One of the best hockey games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Now, Fred, you said people who had left were, like, clamoring to come back in. They wouldn't let them into the TD Garden.
I was not at the TD Garden.
You had left, like, well before that.
He was at the bar, gave up, and walked home. And then when he walked in the door, he saw the game still on. He's like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, I got very... Well, first of all, I defend leaving the bar. But second of all, I mean, Jesus. I mean, they weren't going to come back. So I walked home and
that's right. You were at the bar, not at the TD Garden.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
I would have left the TD Garden too. But I left the bar. I listened to music walking home. I got inside. I turned on the TV. And thank God my wife had been watching the game because I never would have put on Nesson again.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a second. This isn't post game.
Yeah.
Like, why is this? Like, why is there a clock? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this went to overtime.
Yeah, I know.
So that was the... Yeah,
was that the series that apparently Tyler Seguin had to have someone standing outside of his room to make sure they didn't leave and party?
Was that during the series, or was that just a general thing?
I know it was Toronto. They were in Toronto.
They were in Toronto. Okay. And I think it was during that series, because that was the last year they had him, right? That was right before the If We Had Half of Kane. Yeah, because they went on the run. That was 2013, right? That was the first round of the 2013 Stanley Cup final run, where they eventually lost. And you remember the very famous Behind the Bee where Peter Chiarelli says, if we would have gotten half of Kane from Tyler Seguin, then we would have a Stanley Cup. Yep, I think that was the series that it was rumored that the Bruins had somebody standing outside of his room, his hotel room, when they were in Toronto to make sure that he didn't go out and about. Now, yep. I don't know if that's true, but we've heard it from pretty high, I mean, people who would know that that might have been the case.
All right, you're right. The Bruins were down.
It was 2-0, and then I think they won the next two.
The reason I know that, Fred, is I was at game four. I paid through the nose for 300-level seats for game four. Which was a fairly easy win, it looks here.
Yes.
Peverly with two goals in that.
Yep.
My goodness.
Rich Peverly.
So now the question is, the Bruins have lost the battle of the goaltenders through six games. We can all agree, right? Anderson's been better than Rask.
Yesterday, Rask was pretty good.
No, but I mean, overall, in the series, Anderson has been better than Rask.
Sure.
And Rask, is we talked to Billy Jaffe about it earlier in the program, is a polarizing figure. Is tomorrow night the game that everyone's been waiting for? Is tomorrow night the game where Rask stands on his head and shuts Toronto down and wins them a series?
All right, he shouldn't have to. He should just be able to play well.
Agreed. We all know the Bruins are the better team. We also all know what happened to the Bruins in Game 5 of this series. If Toronto comes out hot, and we have every reason to believe that they will, because they played well, they've already won two games in Boston in this series, can Tuukka Rask stand on his head and give his team enough of an effort to win a game 2-1 in a game they really shouldn't have won?
Yay. I mean, we've seen him do it before, but I don't...
See, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think anyone's sure about that.
I would think not. Like, if there was a tremendous amount of pressure on him at a certain point in the game, and they were getting rebounds, and, like, to have him stand in his head, no, I don't think that's
And if
happen.
He does do that, I think a lot of this stuff around him disappears.
And by the way, when we get back to who's going to win that, there's no... Toronto's defense is putrid.
It's Muzzin and everybody else. I agree. And we had Ty Anderson sit in here and talk about Zaitsev and how he might be one of the worst defensemen he's ever seen. And yet this guy gets regular shifts.
I don't understand what any of these calls mean.
Could you... Let's just take one because I want to figure it out. I'm curious.
All right. You want to take two or three?
Let's take three.
Paul, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
What's up?
That story about the guy being outside is true. My uncle, before he passed away, he was the head of security for the Bruins.
Yeah,
and they had him stationed out there that whole series,
like outside of Sagan's room.
Oh yeah.
So what did he tell you? I mean, what were his instructions?
He cannot leave the room. I mean, that was pretty much it. He didn't tell us about it until way after. Like, he was silent about it until, you know, a couple years later. And it was just like, yeah, I was out there, and was pretty vague about it, but he was there. It was true. So,
yeah, because what had happened is that Sagan's from Toronto, obviously, and that he didn't seem to be taking things seriously and was going out. What was he, 19?
Well, that was the year that, remember, the whole Winnipeg time change thing happened where he was late.
Yeah.
And he said that he hadn't changed his clock back. And that was at the point where everyone had cell phones, where it just automatically changes.
Right. Yeah.
So that was a little fishy in the first place.
Yeah.
And there were rumors about that the whole season long, is that he wasn't taking the year seriously. But
he's shown everyone. That Dallas team is a real juggernaut.
He looks good in this round. If I'm not mistaken, he's playing pretty well.
That team's never going to win a Stanley Cup with him on it. Never. Never.
I haven't looked at even, like, how... Because I know at the beginning of the season, he got called out by his GM. Remember that? Him and Jamie Benn?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was the stupidest thing you could do as a GM. Because if you're
Those
a free agent...
Those are your two best players.
Yeah, and you're a free agent. Like, why would I want to go to a place where the general manager is crapping all over his own players?
It's not like they can afford anyone anyway. I mean, they invested so much in those two guys.
That was crazy. And I remember when he got traded, everyone lost their minds. There was all these questions about these parties that he was at. Remember, there was the one, didn't he steal somebody's cell phone, or somebody stole his cell phone? There was a lot of stuff going on with Tyler Seguin. But I'll tell you what, you look at Tyler Seguin and what he was supposed to be in his second year, and you look at what Jake DeBrusk did in his second year, this year.
Yeah.
And he was only two goals short of what Seguin scored.
Yeah, Seguin at 29 and
DeBrusk was 27.
27,
then.
Right. Sagan had 33 goals this year. He's got 5 points in six games. Five points in five games
so
for Dallas.
You're going to look back and think, wow, Sagan sure was something. And you're going to probably think, well, DeBrusque, boy, he finally came into his own. But he was almost the same as Sagan because he had such an offensive explosion at the end of the year.
Very streaky, that DeBrusque kid. Now that our phone calls are irrelevant. Not too much to talk to him about anyway.
Well, I think that...
You know he's going to want to come back on again.
No, he's not.
He requested those two calls. He requested them.
You don't think DeBrusque will ask to be on again this Thursday? If they win game seven?
I don't think so.
I bet you he does.
All right.
Right before game one?
We can have him on.
Against Columbus?
I'll have him on anytime he requests. I will do it. Because, I mean, it's in his head. I don't want to mess with it. But I also think that I'm not going to credit what he did yesterday to being the...
The last two times he's been on the air with us, he hadn't played well.
Well, the first time, you could argue cost him the game, because remember he did the hooking and tripped a...
Yeah, he played horribly.
Was it Austin Matthews or was that Nylander? I forget.
Ted Johnson bump.
What's that?
He's saying that because Ted Johnson was on with us Friday when we had DeBrusque on, that's the reason why DeBrusque scored last night.
They played awful Friday.
Yep.
What the hell was that? What are you doing?
Zolak has four things in Jiffy Pop.
I get so excited. I went to the store and saw that they still sell Jiffy Pop.
So you bought four of them.
My kid's going to snap out tonight.
All right.
Okay, all right.
All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What will we discuss?
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Loses his mind over a girl. Oh, how sad. I felt really bad for him, actually. It's one of those times where...
He's a grown man.
He's a grown man, but that's one of those things where... It's a whole new world where the internet doesn't forgive.
Well, I mean, it's like when your dog died and you had the rainbow...
The rainbow bridge. Pop-witch. I will not apologize for that. I cried more when my dog died than when, relatives died. I think I cried more when my dog died than when my father died, which is crazy.
I didn't cry when my dog died.
Not that I love my dog more than my father. My father's pretty cool, but... But anyways, my dog. That was Ruby.
All right. You keep that at home. All right. We'll be back here at the headlines.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Nothing at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, an ex-patriot, loses it a little bit online.
There is something about a breakup that makes people want to do really stupid things. And unfortunately, having the internet around or access to your cell phone might be the worst idea ever. So Danny Amendola has been on and off with Olivia Culpo, supermodel. I don't even know. I guess she's considered a supermodel, right?
She's a supermodel or like an Instagram?
No. I believe she's an actual model who's like modeled for fairly big clothing companies.
Okay.
And they have kind of had an on and off relationship. I guess that they just recently broke up one more time. But there was a video that was captured by TMZ at last weekend's Coachella, and it was Olivia Culpo, Danny Amendola's ex-girlfriend, canoodling with the DJ Zed at Coachella, and he's got his hands around her, and she's kind of swaying along with him, and that made Danny Amendola lose his mind. The first thing he did was he posted an Instagram video of him lying shirtless on his bed, laptop on his stomach, watching Pulp Fiction, and just plays the scene, "Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead." Oh, yeah. Doesn't like Zed.
Gonna kill him.
Mm-hmm. And then, a few minutes later, this almost reminds me of Swingers. You know where he makes the phone call? He just keeps calling back. Like, he couldn't leave well enough alone. Like, that was already enough. Like, all right, dude, what are you doing? But then he posted a Instagram, confessional. I want to get a word count on this because this is probably several hundred words that he put on there.
Yeah, someone compared it to a CVS receipt.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah, it's just thin and long.
It was just super long, run-on sentences, not the punctuation and capitalization, just all over the place, just the ramblings of someone who is very, very hurt by all of this. And so I will do my best to read it. It says, "I believe there should be a boundary between private life and social media. Olivia believes in fishbowl lifestyle. This fundamental difference was huge in our relationship. If you're my real friend, you know I'm private. Well, that's why you're writing this gigantic thing.
And also why you did all those stupid videos with Edelman.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, and that's why you've signed a modeling contract. Yes, you're a very private person.
My mother, brother, father, and nephew are closest to me in this world. You don't see one picture of them, and that's for their protection from for those who criticize and judge. I believe in nailing picture frames on the inside of my house to remind the ones I love that I care. Olivia chooses and wants to be noticed on the internet and in Hollywood to make money, which was hard for me to understand but quickly had to learn. Whereas the cost of fame in this world doesn't appeal to me, I play ball for one reason, and that's in capital letters, respect. That's why he plays ball. The only reason I'm writing this post is because whether I liked it or not, we live in the public eye. Some of it isn't amazing. I've met some nice people from all over the world, and Olivia and I had some amazing times together. Just like any other loving relationship, we fought. A lot of the time, it was my fault because, let's be honest, I can be an idiot. But, yup, she's effed up too. And if you cross me, I'm a hard MF-er to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
The universe brought her and I together to enjoy life, love, and learn. We celebrated that as often as we could. And the sex was effing crazy too.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Come on, give me a little bit of that booty.
That's where he just took a left turn at Crazyville. Oh. All right, she gets mad at me for not posting her on social media, but I think this blank is sometimes fake, sometimes toxic, but sometimes beautiful. And I felt like she had enough pictures online anyway. Truth is, I have a whole cell phone of funny, embarrassing, sexy Instagram pics that she would love to have.
Ooh, don't keep them from us. Let me see the sexy one.
However, living in a public, it's still going, by the way. This is one post. However, living in a public image isn't my choice. It's something I've learned to deal with. Reading all these wild stories about her and I and seeing Olivia with other men, I just wanted to personally clear the air out there. Well, I don't know what he's cleared. We've been on and off for a long time and not together as of late. Not sure what's in the future, but the only thing I care about is her, capital letters, happiness. And if that's dancing with scrony little Fs, so be it.
Well, listen. She's not going to get a honk like him every day.
He said, I'm happy too. With that said, Liv, my beautiful ex-girlfriend, Providence's finest, and Baker's Bay pancakes, and then a pancake emoji, carry on, IG, at Olivia Culpo. I mean, dude.
Is the pancake thing like they liked, this is like where they liked pancakes, so it's like a little like I love you thing?
Okay, how much was he crying during that? Like he was crying and then angry, and then crying and then angry. And then pensive. And then angry. And then
I don't know exactly what he's clearing up. I don't think a lot of people were enthralled with the relationship with this woman.
No.
You know, you hear a lot of stuff from Coachella. It somehow got past me that the chick that Danny Amendola is dating was with a DJ I've never heard of.
Somebody tweeted, he's a pretty big name. Somebody tweeted, Danny Amendola says, I'm a very private guy. Danny Amendola says, Olivia is the attention whore. Then Danny Amendola says, writes a 2-page Instagram caption about how he's private and Olivia was the attention whore. But they broke up now despite having crazy sex and she's dancing with scrawny dudes.
I just like the whatever pancakes, because I have a feeling that that's like an inside thing between them. Is she from Providence?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Former Miss Universe, I'm told.
Your friend does that. Is that an immediate phone call to check on him? That's an immediate, hey, man, you okay? Yeah.
No, if my friend does that, I'm laughing.
Okay.
And staying away.
Has anyone ever had a friend lose their mind before on Twitter or Instagram just over a breakup? Because, I mean, that's an immediate phone call. There's only been one time
that's
friend
an immediate phone call to bust balls. I'm not seeing if they're okay.
I can't even I couldn't even bust balls.
I had a friend who called
a week later.
I had a friend who called. No, I'm not seeing if they're okay. They broke up with their dumb girlfriend. I had a friend who called me on my way to work one day to tell me his wife left them. Now that I took seriously. But if I see some stupid Instagram post, my friends and I could not start busting balls sooner. I mean, I'd go like, I'd be like, oh, do you like pancakes? Oh, did you have crazy sex?
Yeah, I'd be like, man, that's messed up, dude.
Well, first of all, it'd be a gift from God to have a friend like go on Facebook and put something like that. Like all the phone calls you could have making fun of him behind his back. Oh, it would just be remarkable. I mean, that's the only thing Facebook's for, and it's actually kind of sad because like no one pays that much attention to it anymore. But I would have full conversations with friends an hour long just making fun of people's posts on Facebook. Like, this one kid played in the, had a tournament every year, a golf tournament, the Hot Dog Open. And he'd be like, things were crazy.
By the way, speaking of Coachella, did you see what Kanye West did at Coachella this weekend?
We will find out. We'll be right back.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Real quick, I did not see this until just now. So we were talking about Danny Amendola's big breakdown on Instagram where he wrote that giant thesis on Love Lost and calls that guy Zed Scrawny and blah, 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 blah. Well, Julian Edelman responded to that Instagram post.
Of course he did.
And his answer was, get off Instagram, please. Thanks. Which actually is... probably the coolest thing Edelman's done.
Yeah.
No,
he's busting balls.
He goes, dude, get off Instagram.
If you have a friend who broke up with a girlfriend and wrote that, that is ball busting. The minute that's a gift, how much fun could you have with your friends just discussing it so many times? You come up with a voice for it.
You make a T-shirt with that written out on it and show up at his house.
Yeah. You know, there was an intramural team that two of my friends were on in high school, and they put a picture of a kid's girlfriend on it, swimming, and then there was, like, something about, it's like, something, like, kind of mean.
Yeah.
And that was the shirt they wore in high school at our school's intramural program.
So we were in high school, and there was a guy who, somebody found a picture of him, like, picking a wedge out of his butt. And like these five guys made T-shirts, like they were on like the same like football teams. They're busting his balls, but they all made T-shirts and showed up. And it was a picture of him picking a wedge out of his butt.
Oh boy, that would be a gift from God. Oh, whenever someone loses it like that, even when they put something really positive on like Facebook, then you're just like, oh, the disaster that relationship must be.
Yeah,
because now they're really going overboard.
Okay, did you guys see, because this, I guess Olivia Culpo was at Coachella with this DJ, Zed, who was there. Okay. Did you see the thing that Kanye West did? So Kanye West was originally asked to do Coachella and headline one of the stages, but apparently what he asked for as far as what he was able to do with the stage, they weren't able to accommodate him, so he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So instead, he did this thing that was like called Kanye's church service, and they gave him this hill that no one was allowed to go on. And it was Kanye West and like 100 people dressed in like gospel robes. And he went up there and like sang these gospel songs. And it was, and the only way you could watch it was on the on their Coachella stream, but it was all done through like a peephole.
He's legitimately crazy. Like a lot of times, 99% of times, I'm like, someone's doing this.
Yeah.
Someone's doing this for attention.
I used to think he was just trying too hard, and now I think he's crazy.
Wait, you think the White House visit didn't convince everyone first? I mean, come on. Well,
he's gone crazy.
You guys saw Porky's, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Have I ever.
We used to play at the Eagles at the old stadium. It used to be, forget the name of the Vet. And it would be a road game, obviously. And normally when we travel, you have five buses, and everybody kind of spreads out on all the buses. First bus goes early. For whatever reason... my first year in the league, you get on that bus, and the first bus is packed to where guys are standing up, holding on, like, why does everybody want to go early? So you get in early, and then there's our, God rest his soul, Donnie Brosher, equipment manager. He has power tools. And he would drill holes through the door in our shower, because directly on the other side were the Eagles cheerleader showers. And it was like 30 dudes lined up against the wall, just peeking. While they're just showering away. And I think they actually knew about it. Because, I mean, you see all the holes in the door. So I think they really played up to it. And it was one like, wow, this is National Football League, huh? This is what we do. And then you would see parts where somebody would take something and weld metal over it to cover it. Then we'd come back 4 years later and there'd be Donnie. Just drilling more holes. Little holes, not to where you put anything in it.
Right, like what happened in Porky.
Peepholes.
Right, sure.
To Walk's point about peepholes.
That's right. That's right.
Did he get arrested?
Arrested for what?
Well, it's kind of a crime.
I'm thinking, yeah, that's illegal.
It was a different Nobody time. Knows those holes were there.
I thought you said everyone knew those holes were there.
Well, in a league, it's like a league-known thing. I think the teams like the holes. I think the cheerleaders like the holes.
What year is this? I'm sure they loved it.
91, 92.
Okay, all right. But there was no Miss Ballbreaker there to whack and not let go.
Beulah. Ooh, she's a Weller.
I got one.
Right.
So he said Kanye's been doing the Sunday service. That's what he called it, the Sunday service.
Does he do communion? Now. Does he give out communion?
I don't. Because you know what it is? It's basically him saying, "Worship me." I mean, he because it's not almost as a joke. Like he's standing up as like the preacher, like godlike figure, and all these people around him doing that. I mean, like that. He's kind of gone bonkers to the level that some of these like cult leaders have become.
Does he still produce stuff?
I mean, he still makes albums of his own.
Because he was, like, the greatest producer in the world.
Oh, sure.
Like
around the early 2000s.
Yeah, because he did, like, Jay-Z and all those guys.
Well, that's what he was known for before, you know, he did his own thing.
And then he couldn't handle it.
Well, she ain't looking for no gold digger. Yeah.
Nope. I know that for a fact, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big time
hit. She make her own money.
That's right. She's not looking for a gold digger. She's looking for someone to... A happy equipment guy that's going to drill holes in the wall.
He was one of the most perverted individuals I've ever been around. Then guys would go on a road and he
didn't say his name, did you?
Yeah, Donnie Brochu.
He's dead. So
passed away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Scott realized they were rough waters ahead.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow on the show, we have a big show. We got a bunch of stuff going on. First of all, Pasta Joe ends up going into his hibernation or whatever you're going to call it, going to the Marvel movie marathon after the show.
Gonna bring some popcorn and some sandwiches, you said last time.
Probably we're going to figure out who is going to go the Avengers career, either Nick or Bird.
Dude.
Brand new audio.
You found that Espo audio. Espo's one of my favorites. I used to scare the hell out of him at events I used to do with him.
He's the best. And this is the tip of the iceberg. I have so much more.
I tweeted out, too. I said, I will host. If NBC Sports Boston could find a night, I will host an environmental show. With me, Espo, Tommy Heinsohn, and Jim Murray will be my co-host also. Because Jim and I believe there's one bag for everything. There's one bag in. You know, and Espo's sort of going down that road, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some stuff.
NBC, if you can do it, I'm in.
Yeah, they're pretty good about doing stuff like that.
Also, we are going to have Sean Grandy in studio. So it'll be very tense for John Wallach at the 8 o'clock hour. Also, one of the head guys of the Encore who's going to be in here as well. And by the way, Bird, real quick. I was talking to the guy at the Encore. How many of your friends or relatives, Bird, are going to be working at the Encore?
He's not listening.
Because I told him like 10, and he started laughing, and I think it's more than that. How many people?
Dozen. Definitely over a dozen.
Over a dozen.
I told you, we saw him at the Red Sox game working. When you see him there, and we all stopped, they're like, wow, he looks so normal and like smart. Like, you know, it looks like he knows what he's doing.
Was he wearing a costume?
Totally in control. Had his red jacket on, sunglasses, scanners, phones.
All right, what do you got going today?
Oh, man. A full re-entry Monday of sports. Everything. I think we're starting B's and C's, though, obviously.
Yep.
Not them Celtics. Sweeper.
Yeah, really good.
Nice 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock games yesterday. You can't ask for anything more.
Oh, you actually could. Well, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock would be real nice.
No.
I see. I like how it was yesterday.
It was perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. So a big show on the way tomorrow. Everyone have a fantastic time with you and yours. And I hope you had a lovely Passover and Easter. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.